Welcome to Life and Godliness. I am your host, Joanna Simpson, otherwise known as JoSim. So many of us are struggling, stuck, lost, wounded, and hopeless when Jesus came so we could be free and live an abundant life. He wants us to enjoy Him and enjoy life. But how can we truly do this if we're bogged down by life's problems? Well, Life and Godliness with JoSim hopes to help persons enjoy life with Christ by sharing Christ-inspired solutions to everyday problems and digging up deep-rooted mindsets that skew our perception of the Father. To quote a popular artist, life is hard, but God is good. And He's patient in our journeys. So join us as we talk about life and godliness.
Welcome back to Life and Godliness. We're now in our second episode, and we are continuing to share on how to heal from hurt within the church. Many of us have been wounded by members of the church, and some even by leaders. Some of us have left the church, and others have not been able to regain the lively relationship with Christ. But God wants us to be free today. So we have invited Mrs. Janet Senior again to share with us as we seek to heal from this hurt. Janet has been involved in church and missions for over 30 years. She's married with 3 adult children and 1 grandchildren. In the last episode, she really just shared her journey up until the point where she experienced hurt from the church. But I mean, just how she processed it was pretty amazing. She spoke about the value of digging into community and how they kept each other accountable and how they walked with each other through the deep pain of, you know, kind of being shut down by their leaders. And I'm just going to ask her quickly just to recap that part of her story as we continue today. Welcome again, Janet.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Yes, and it's amazing to have you. And I just... again, I'm just grateful for you deciding to open up and share your story with us. We are trusting that God will cause many to be healed and free as a result of this discussion.
Yes. You know, as I shared in the earlier segment, that we thought we were on the ball, fire for Christ. We were using our own initiative, going out and inviting persons to church. But in our effervescence and our youthful exuberance, and the Spirit of God invoked in us a different ways of expression. Perhaps, I mean, you know, young people are usually louder than the adults. And so we did make a lot of noise praising the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we perhaps banged on chairs at times. And this was not an acceptable thing in the Brethren Church at that time, mm-hmm. you know. You didn't talk about getting in the Spirit, and you didn't talk about speaking in tongues. And so we were told to shut down, you know, mm-hmm. to stop our prayer meeting that we had between Sunday school and night service. Can you imagine young people going to night service at that time? Mm-hmm. And it had a negative impact on us, and some persons walked away from that fellowship. But there were quite a number of us that stayed behind, submitted, even though it hurt, and even though we had anger and resentment in our heart, we remained committed to God and His faithfulness and His, you know, His love for us. And we helped each other through that time of pain. And God only made things better by encouraging us and encouraging the leaders. And we saw changes in them and changes in the persons who were now given responsibility over us. And that opened the door for us to minister further, mm-hmm. you know, and train us for where we are today as leaders all over Jamaica and the world.
Yeah. One of the things that's very interesting, you know, that you've said is submitting to God. You know, so you stayed yes. at the church, but you submitted to God. And I think that's one of the things as members of the church, you know, as people that love God and go to church, we have to declare in our minds the distinction. Because I yes. think that when these types of hurt occur, right, we focus so much on the leaders and where they are and whether they're wrong or right, that we lose sight of the fact that we are actually submitted to God. And, you know, this is God's order of authority. And, you know, just even that space of submitting to authority is counterculture. It is not something yes. that we like to do, especially, you know, in my generation, you know, we go against the grain as well. But I guess it's yes. not that yes. different. Every generation seems to kind of go against the grain, you know, yes. but focusing on the fact that we submit to God. not to men. And so even though they may have been wrong, let's say, even though they may have been wrong, the fact that you submitted to them by, you know, submitted to God by submitting to them, God worked it out at the end. And what that experience could have done, you know, is just strengthen the inner man so that when the expansion came, you know, you were ready to manage it and to run with it. Yes. What were you saying?
And the Bible does tell us that we are to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes the pain don't allow us to do that. And we can see it happening in all kinds of relationships, even the parent-child one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in the pubescent years, you don't value some of the things that you're told that you should be submitting to, you know.
Yeah.
But when you do so as unto the Lord, I have seen firsthand how God really does heal you from what mm-hmm. seemed to be hurt at the time. And prepare you to deal with more hurt, even in your own personal life.
Deal with more hurt. You know, even now as I hear that and I reflect on my own experience, you know, and you think about just the deep, deep, deep pain, Janet, you know, I went through during that period and just the turmoil and how it really affected my perception of myself and my perception of, you know, others, you know, to think about another experience of church hurt is like, Lord, you know,
church is in the world. You know, we are not in heaven yet. It's in the world and it's human being, fallen mankind that is mm-hmm. in management and leadership and our members. And sometimes mm-hmm. we say church is like a hospital. It's only sick people go there, you mm-hmm. know. And many of us, we don't have the same challenges and we don't have the same needs. And I know that perhaps I have hurt persons too. And mm-hmm. I mean, I think even something I would think positive about myself can be hurt. For example, I have learned not to hold on to grudges and things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so something will happen between yourself and me, and I will, if I am the offender, I will say, I am so sorry, you know, this was my intention. I'm sorry that it came at you that way and that you were hurt, you know, please forgive me. And immediately, once I do that, I have moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't value the fact that perhaps you need more time than me. So when I see you next week and you show me some sort of a, you know, non-responsive face, I just can't get it.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm.
And I am pretending as if I'm going on as if nothing is happening. And you are saying, oh, I am pretending and I'm a hypocrite. But I'm not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So different, even the way we behave with each other, you know, and so mm-hmm. compassion, the Corinthians 13 in its entirety, you know, is something that we have to look at because none of us have it all.
Yeah. And that's a hard thing to really grasp, you know, because as I said, even with my experience, you know, in being hurt by members of the church, you know, one of the things that we have to remember, and you said it really, that the church is filled with sick people in a sense, you know, it's just that we're not perfect. And that no matter how spiritual we seem, everybody is on a journey with Christ. And we experience different things. And, you know, when we experience negative things, it doesn't mean that God takes us out of ministry or takes us out of circulation so that we don't hurt anybody. You know, we're processing our hurts and going through life while we have to minister, while we have to interact, while we have to serve. You know, and so we get the grit and the hardness of each other. You know, but what God also does with that, which he showed me as well, is that he sharpens us. He refines us in that process so that, you know, as you said earlier in the first episode, that God has given us unique gifts and abilities. And so it's easy and it's lovely and it's amazing to be able to benefit from your strengths. But when it comes to your weaknesses, that is the difficulty, you know. But God uses even that. You know, and you brought that out, you know, just as you said, you walked with community, your friends, you know, so you guys held each other accountable. So could you tell me a little bit more about that friendship, that community that you grew in and as you guys processed how you helped each other?
Well, there are some tangible ways and there are some I would say, small ways that we do. So, for example, when we were doing CXCs and A-levels, mm-hmm. there were some of us who did better than some. And what mm-hmm. we did, we got together, those of us who did very well, and mm-hmm. we held classes. The church gave us the facility. Our church was very giving, and they facilitated us being there any day we wanted to. Mm-hmm. And we would share our papers and our lessons and help each other to work through the subjects that they didn't do well at until mm-hmm. they passed and everybody got a chance to go to do further study. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we didn't think we were doing anything great, but we just wanted everybody to succeed. Mm-hmm. You know, we would ensure that if anybody was in need, we would be there for them. If somebody mm-hmm. Was hurt or they lost a loved one, we would come together to make sure that whatever deficiency there was, we would make it up, even if it meant going into our pockets. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, when I look back now, I realize that we were living like the church was asked to do so, and we just never realized. But we wanted everybody to be equal. We wanted everybody to be comfortable. I remember after meeting Youth for Christ and Young People's Meeting, the men used to walk the women home. Because everybody mm-hmm. never had cars. Mm-hmm. We used to take bus and walk the women home, and then they would go home on their own.
Yeah. That's amazing.
It was amazing. We went out in groups. We took care of each other. Mm-hmm. We ensured that if somebody was dating one of the sisters, we would have to check them out. Mm-hmm. You know. So it was an all-inclusive type of support that we gave.
And so when you were going through the pain, you know, when the group was going through the pain and the turmoil and just the deepness of the hurt, how did you support each other?
We would encourage each other and we would say, you know, let us work together. I know that we don't agree with what you said. How can we make the best of this? So we had areas of responsibility. So mm-hmm. we would, in our planning of our meetings, whatever the directions we were asked to go, we tried to make it fun and to do the best we could to work within the limitations given, the time bound, you know, the frequency bound, the space, and so forth. We would call on each other. Like, if I know that you were disgruntled about something, we would make sure that we follow up with you more to encourage you. We will find times to play together, you know, just mm-hmm. to cheer each other up, mm-hmm. you know, because there are some persons who took it harder than some because we came from homes that were not always, we didn't have all mom and dad and it wasn't all fun. So this was a place that we was nurturing for us. Mm-hmm. And when you get hurt from the nurturing place, it's harder on you.
Yeah.
The most important thing that we did was to be there, give an ear, a listening ear. We mm-hmm. were tangible with things, needs that were available, and we checked in on each other.
You are listening to Life and Godliness on Arrows Internet Radio. We are currently talking to Mrs. Janet Senior on healing from hurt within the church. If you've missed any of it, feel free to contact us or listen again in on Wednesday at 8 a.m. Thank you so much. And we're looking forward to hearing from you. So, Janet.
Yes,
we were talking just about, you know, the experiences of the community and how we were supporting each other through this time. You know, one of the things I think as Christians we do, and I think sometimes I do it too, you know, is as you support somebody, you know, it's kind of always this desire to tell them the Christian responses, tell them all the scriptures, tell them to, you know, and sometimes that's not always helpful. So just a little further down, I'm just going to ask you to speak a little bit about, you know, almost step by step, how can we support a Christian brother or sister that, you know, really wants to be healed. Sometimes they don't even want to be healed, but how do we encourage them through that process? Okay. You know, but we'll speak about that a little later. You know, one of the things that you also spoke about that I think is important, and even again in my own reflection of my experience, the Lord showed me that, you know, Joanna, you may feel like a victim in this circumstance. But really, at other times, you know, I have also been a, let's use this term, perpetrator or offender. Mm-hmm. You know, I am sure there are persons out there who I've offended. You know, I mean, even growing up for me, I wasn't the nicest person. I was mean many times. And, mm-hmm. you know, sorting through my own issues, you know, I know persons wouldn't have gotten the best from me. And even in my own experience of church hurt, I know even in that process, you know, I hurt others. And so one of the scriptures that God, you know, really used to convict me that I just want to share with our listeners is Romans 2:1-4. And it says, "You may think you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad and you have no excuse. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, you are condemning yourselves. For you who judge others do these very same things. And we know that God in his justice will punish anyone who does such things. Since you judge others for doing these things, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from sin?" And so for me, every time I was just like, God, I'm better than this person. How could this person do this to me? He would always remind me of this scripture and say, you know, you have either done this before, you're at risk of doing it or doing something similar. So secondly, Jacob, you know, and it was very hard and humbling, but it was really something that God used to almost put me back in line. You know, in this experience, what are some of the lessons you would say you learned that has carried you forward?
I have learned, first of all, that my allegiance is to God. First of all, and secondly, that God has a right way to deal with pain. And he has some steps and some principles in his word that I need to follow. And if I follow them, even in dealing with pain and persons who hurt me, I don't have to destroy the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I do that. One of the things is, you know, sometimes we have to allow persons to share and to bring into words their hurt.
Mm.
And sometimes we don't do that. We don't allow that. And that's one of the lessons I have learned, where we were able to allow each other to talk about how we were feeling and to listen. Mm-hmm. They teach us that listening and allowing persons to share is the first step in healing, first step in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the Bible talks about confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you might be healed, it's really a part of the step of growing and moving away from the pain and the hurt. And that type of a confessing is not to be done in judgmenting and pointing finger. It's just a matter of, it's for me, it's like chewing your food, even when you're hungry, slowly, slowly, so that you can get the nourishment. And the fiber can go in rather than chucking it down your throat and growing up again. And I really believe that we ought to also learn patience. One of the lessons I learned, because we had to be patient with our leaders, you know, in order to see God work through them again. We have to be patient. You know, sometimes it we seem that this is when God wants us to do this, or this is when we want to do this, but we need to be patient in love. Love is kind, love is patience, it's forbearing, and we ought to learn that even very young. Even our children, as we teach them, we have to teach delayed gratification.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't have to be no. And so we have to learn patience and tolerance. And we also have to learn that persons will view and see things differently from us depending on time, stage, and season of life. And it's okay. It's okay. And that another lesson I learned is that if it doesn't happen today and God wants it to happen, it will still happen. Our a day with God, a day for us is one day, and it's a big thing, but it's like 1,000 years with the Lord. And so we need to know that if God has given us something and we say God told us to do it, if it doesn't happen now, it will happen because God wants it to happen.
Okay. I mean, I'm learning so much from you. I am hearing how one, God, when we humble ourselves, God exalts us. Yes. And the way I see that in your experience is that you conformed to what the authority, you know, stated. And then you prayed and God gave you a breakthrough in the form of a leader who was able to preside over you and give enough room to see your ministry explode.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, the thought is that if it is that you guys didn't press in and wait and submit in this way, that you would not have necessarily seen that type of explosion that you did in the past. And so that just, you know, that's really amazing to me that truly, you know, we live in a space where hurt is, we're inevitable, you know, pain is inevitable. But in the midst of it all, God wants us to have an abundant life. And he uses all of these things for our good, you know. So whether or not we believe that it was the right timing and the leaders thought it wasn't, you know, whether or not that was the case is not the point. You know, God honored the fact that you submitted to your leaders. And then also in forgiving your leaders, you know, or working towards forgiveness under them, you know, while still doing ministry, while still serving, again led to individual personal freedom, you know, that again, if you did not process with God, you would not have attained and would not have been able to experience the abundance, again, the explosion in terms of the harvest and the people that came through your ministry that God, you know, allowed to happen. And so, I mean, there are just so many things, lessons that I'm hearing that I know that even for me in this stage of my life, you know, I can apply. So I just want to thank you so much for sharing those lessons with us, you know, and just to also remind us and myself, you know, that God has no favorites. He loves me and he loves the person who offends me. And, you know, we are all on that journey towards becoming more like Christ, pushing forward, pushing towards the mark, you know, to attain that prize and live in eternity in relationship with God. But Janet, as we close and as we wrap up, before we go, I just want you to do two things for me. I'm going to ask you just to share with us, share with me, you know, how can I support persons who, you know, have been hurt? They've been hurt deeply and they're going through the hurts of the pain and it's so hard to come out of it. And secondly, I'm just going to ask you to pray for our listeners earnestly, you know, because my desire here, you know, through this show is really just providing a platform where we can hear solutions, but also experience in the spirit that God wants us to be free and live an abundant life, not just in eternity, but here on this earth.
Okay. Firstly, I would encourage you to allow the persons who are hurt to share from their heart and to pray with them and to seek through God's word to guide them into humility and seeking from God for the healing of themselves and the persons. You know, it's amazing when we pray for each other and pray for the persons who hurt us. We cannot hate them. It's difficult to dislike somebody that you pray for, but you need to allow the person to share their hurt. Listen to them without being critical. Look for the word of God. Go through the word of God with them and encourage them to pray about the situation and to give it time. And to humble. Okay. The scripture says, humble yourself and the Lord will lift you up. And sometimes if the hurt is so bad, then they need to give themselves some space. You know, you don't want to have your hand in the mouth of a dog who is biting you and keep it there.
Okay.
You have to learn to.
Okay. What does space look like?
What does what?
The space look like. What do you mean by
the space? The space may mean that, you see, and I have to be careful because I don't want persons to misunderstand me. So the space may depend on what the situation is. So let me take the worst case scenario. Let's say that I sit in the front bench at church every morning. And when I mm-hmm. sit there, that's where my hurt is coming from. Right.
Okay.
I may mm-hmm. want to leave that space and try somewhere else, or I may want to go to a sister church. God is everywhere. Okay. You know?
Yeah.
And if we don't have to keep our hand in the mouth of the dog and be bitten over and over again. We can take, you mm-hmm. know, we go on vacation from our job. Sometimes we like our job, you know, but to go on vacation so we can have a fresh perspective.
Okay. Understood.
You know? Mm-hmm. But we need to do it. We need to do it within the boundary. So I wouldn't just disappear, if you get me.
Okay.
I would say to yeah. somebody, you know, I am going to Mary Brown for the next 2 weeks. So if you miss me, that's where I am.
Okay. Accountability.
Accountability, you know, and so mm-hmm. forth. So, and then now pray. Encourage the person to pray. Don't go into bitterness. Pray with them mm-hmm. and build them up first before you address the issue, because you want them to be strong enough to deal with whatever God is going to say and how they are going to address the issue. So sometimes when you take somebody who is hurt and put them to work, it may not be so good. So maybe you just need to strengthen them and help heal their emotion first.
Sorry to stop you there, but what do you mean by build them up?
So for example, if you can, through the scripture or through situations or even your own experience, when you listen to why and how they were hurt, you can begin to direct them in how to get out mm-hmm. of that hurtful situation and how to make themselves better. So for example, if I am working with an abusive parent, I am not going to talk to them about how to deal with a child who is aggravating their temper to make them abusive. I'm going to deal with building their self-esteem as a parent.
Okay, yes, I'm so.
You know, who mm-hmm. you are before the what you do. Because okay, God is yes. more interested in his relationship with you than what you do with and for him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's very important that we get emotional and personal healing, you know, and spiritually healed before we go to task of repair, you know.
Okay.
And so that's why I really believe, and we need to do it quickly for that, because you don't want to go to the Lord's Supper harboring resentment, because the word says if you know that someone have somewhat against you, you shouldn't break bread. I have taken it that seriously.
Yes, wow. Okay.
Because they are
repercussions. Yeah, okay.
They are repercussions, you know. So going mm-hmm. to fasting. And fasting may mean staying away from the people.
mm-hmm. Oh gosh, be radical essentially in the approach. Yeah. Okay. But just before we pray, I just wanted to give some just final comments and then just to pray and close. So just one thing that you want the listeners to really get into their spirit, the one thing.
Okay. I think I had said it earlier and I'm going to rephrase it, that we need to learn how to focus on the perfection of our awesome God, instead of the imperfection of his church. And his church here meaning our fellowship. We have to be realistic and stop thinking that church is a perfect place, you know. That it is this bomb, you know, and the church have a lot of good. Some churches have very good family situations, but there it's just like the world, pain is there also. But when we focus on the perfection of God, even in a place where it's not perfect, we can be hopeful, we can be hope, and we can find hope, and we can really find fellowship.
Okay, thank you so much, Janet. So just asking you to pray for our listeners now so that they may receive healing and freedom.
Dear Lord, we thank you that we can call you Father, and that as Father, you are concerned about each and every one of us and everything that happens to us and through us. And Lord, in your church, in our family, in our jobs, everywhere, Lord, as we are here in the world, servants of God, ministers of God, sharing the gospel with each person that we meet. We pray for those who are hurting this morning and those who have been hurt. We thank you that, Lord, it is possible to get over hurt, to be healed, and to be open again, Lord, and to be free and to forgive and to live and to be happy. And we pray this for each person who is hurt this morning, that you will provide a balm for them. That, Lord, as we come and we confess, you will give us healing, Lord, if we've hurt others. We pray that we will be open to your spirit so that we can hear you talking to us, and that you can be the light in our darkness and the way in the path that we walk, so that we might put our hand in your hands and that you might lead us into righteousness. Lord, we ask that you will teach us to forgive, teach us how to love, how to have compassion, and help us, Lord Jesus, to be patient with each other and to love each other, Lord, even when we make mistakes, to recover. And help us to be builders, Lord, and not persons who tear down, because we pray and we wait on you and we ask all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so, so much, Janet, for sharing your experience with us. I mean, it has been such a pleasure, such an amazing experience, and I've learned a lot even from my own personal life. Could you just share with the listeners again your email address so that if anyone wants to contact you so that they can process their own healing, they will know where to go?
Okay, it's Fisher Road, FisherRoad, 49 at gmail.com.
And we're just going to, you know, just play a song at the end of this called Heart That Forgive. It's a song that really helped me in my own times of needing to forgive other people. And I just really want others to be able to hear it and allow the Lord to just wash over you as you listen to the song. I'm just encouraging you and asking you to check my Facebook page and Instagram page. It's Journeying with Joe. Journeying with Joe on Facebook and Instagram. If you've missed any of this episode or the last, you can let me know and we can have a special airing time again, or you can join us on Wednesday at 8 a.m. to hear the episodes again. We just thank you so much for listening to Life and Godliness on our internet radio, and we look forward to hearing from you as we just learn to live an abundant life in Christ. Have a wonderful week. Bless you. Bye.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside.